of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him.
Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Word of God that teaches Scripture alone is written in St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the third and fourth chapters. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Scripture alone. That teaches grace alone is written in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing.
It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Grace alone. That teaches faith alone is written in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapters 1, 3, and 4. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Grace alone.
And for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate.
Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today is from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. I'll read it now. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You will become free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is our text. It should be true of every single Christian church, and it certainly should be true for us here at Our Savior. It should be true that what we believe, teach, and confess is clear to anyone who walks into our sanctuary. Now, there are a lot of different ways that could be true, many ways that it should be true, by the way our sanctuary appears, by the way that we worship as we gather. But today I'm thinking about one particular thing. I'm thinking about the words that people see when they come into this space. When you're in the narthex and you walk into the sanctuary, when you look up as you pass through the doors, what do you see written there? Or perhaps after you've come into your pews, you sit down, you look at the bulletin, what do you see written there? Think about it for a moment. What are the words that confront us first as we pass through the doors and as we look at our bulletin? Perhaps we've seen them so often that we've forgotten they're there. Perhaps we've forgotten that they're not just decorations or space fillers. Perhaps we've forgotten not only the words, but also their meaning. Or maybe we've never noticed them. Maybe we never knew what they meant. Maybe we never gave them a second thought. So go ahead and look at the front cover of your bulletin. What do you see written there, in both English and in Latin, in our language and in the language of the church through the ages? Sola, sola, sola. Three solas. Three things standing by themselves to confess Jesus. Sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. You can turn back to the middle of the bulletin if you want. But I want to draw your attention to that. Every single time you pass through the doors, those words are written above the sanctuary entrance. And almost every single Sunday on the very front of the bulletin, but they're easy to look past, easy to forget. These three phrases are the touchstones of the Reformation, and they are central to the Christian faith. These three phrases are servants of Christ Jesus, and they are also here to serve us, to serve you and me. What do they do for us? They help us to know Jesus and to trust him. I suppose you could call them slogans. Sometimes slogans have a bad rap, but good slogans serve a purpose. They can pack a lot into a few easy-to-remember words. They can boil things down to their essence. They can help us think about the faith clearly and simply, and they can help us confess the faith clearly and simply. Yes, there is a downside, and you know what it is. Slogans can become so familiar to us that we simply parrot the words, but don't understand or think about what they mean. So the most important thing isn't the slogans themselves, and it's not where they come from, but it's what they mean. Martin Luther wasn't the first one to proclaim sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, to point out the significance of Holy Scripture and of God's grace and of faith's role in salvation. We heard the same things in the letter of St. Paul, and we hear the same things from Jesus today in John chapter 8. Sola scriptura means scripture alone. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And we see by what Jesus says how everything hangs on his word. To be disciples is to be in his word. What does it mean? It means that disciples make their home in Jesus' word and dwell there. They read the word and study it and meditate on it and listen to it. And this is how we follow Jesus. This is why God's word is at the center of every gathering that we have here in the sanctuary, every service that we hold. If we had a service without the word of God, we would not be following our Lord. We would not be his disciples. This is what makes the church the church. How can anyone call himself a Christian if he doesn't hold fast to Jesus' word? How can a congregation be the church unless his word shapes all their teaching and their life? And what blessings come to us through the word? You will know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? This is the truth. Everyone who practices or commits sin is a slave to sin. This is the hard truth that Jesus speaks, the hard truth that he tells us about ourselves. As often as we practice or commit sin, we are slaves to it. His holy law reveals this truth to us. It shows us our slavery, or our constant desire, like the children of Israel, to go back to slavery again and again, even after we've been set free. It condemns us, and it breaks our sinful hearts. And this is the truth as well. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. His holy gospel that proclaims the Son and his work, that alone grants us pardon and cleanses us and strengthens us and saves us. Scripture alone. We believe that the Old and New Testaments are the inspired Word of God. We believe that they are breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that they are the clear and pure fountain of Israel, the only standard by which all teachers and doctrines are to be judged. You know what we are to do. Everything that we hear taught or preached or spoken in the name of Jesus, we are to ask the question, text please. Show us where this is written and I will believe it. Show where this is taught by the scriptures and I will practice it. The scriptures alone. So by this phrase, by this slogan, scripture alone, we confess that Holy Scripture stands head and shoulders above everything else in this world. It stands head and shoulders above every tradition, above human reason and experience, above every other teacher in the church. Scripture alone reveals the true God and the salvation that he accomplished for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that brings us to the second. Sola gratia. It means grace alone. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And you see here how everything hangs on his grace. God's riches for you and for me at Christ's expense. We don't deserve the mercy of God. We don't deserve his favor or his love, and yet mercy is what he shows us for Jesus' sake. Freedom is his gift and not our work. If it depended on us and not on grace alone, then how could we ever be free? If overcoming sin, death, and the devil was something that we could do even in some small part, then for what would we need Jesus? By grace means that it's not by our works. So Jesus doesn't say, if the Son gives you directions about how you can set yourselves free, you will be free. He doesn't say, if the Son hands you the keys and asks you to open the lock yourself, you will be free. He doesn't say, if the Son turns the first click and then invites you to take over, you will be free. He says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He puts the key in the lock. He turns the key. He opens the shackles. And he pulls you out. By grace, you have been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace is the undeserved favor and love of God that he has for us, because of the sole merit, the complete obedience, the bitter suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, whose obedience is counted to us for righteousness. God's favor toward you is not because of any merit or worthiness in you. It comes without any works of your own. It comes apart from any works that we do. God's favor for you that is undeserved, but because of what Christ has done. And it is shown to you in the means of grace. in God's Word, in the holy sacraments, baptism and communion, in the holy absolution that you've heard. These are the packages through which God delivers and gives this grace to us, by which we know that we have His favor through Christ. And that leads us to the third of the slogans, sola fide. It means faith alone. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see how everything hangs on faith. Believe him, and you have what he promises. Believe what he says, and you are his disciples, and you know the truth. Believe, and it's yours. Faith is the hand that he opens of us to receive what he gives. Because of who he is and what he does and what he says, we indeed trust him. I can't tell you when I came to faith or how, but I know that I believe because I say amen to the word that Christ speaks. We live by faith alone, and we lay hold of the grace of God in Jesus Christ simply by believing it, by faith in Christ alone. Not by virtue of our sorrow over sin or our love or any other work that we do. Faith is the instrument by which and through which we can receive and accept the grace of God, the merit of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, which are offered in the promise of the gospel. Faith is what grabs hold of the righteousness of Christ and rejoices in it, rejoices in the free forgiveness of sins. And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, not a result of any effort or decision on my part or on yours. We receive what Christ has done by trusting him, not by working for it. These are the things that Martin Luther taught 500 years ago. These are the reasons that our church exists today. Because we believe that Scripture alone is the authority in the church, that grace alone is how God shows and gives us his favor, and that faith alone is how we receive the promises of God. I'm reminded of what Martin Luther went through 500 years ago. We celebrated in 2017 the 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses, but every year brings new things from the life of Martin Luther. It was 500 years ago that he was excommunicated for teaching these things. 500 years ago that he refused to take back what he had written, but instead, standing before the Diet of Worms, said, "Unless you can convince me from Scripture and plain reason that what I have written is false, I cannot and will not recant. My conscience is held captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." 500 years ago, that leaving that meeting, he was whisked away into hiding at the Wartburg Castle for 11 months. He spent that time translating God's Word, the New Testament, into German, that all might have the truth of what Scripture teaches. Now, maybe you've heard all these things before. Maybe Scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone are not new to you. But this is how we understand our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we understand what he has done for us and what he gives to us. This is how we live as Christians, and it is what we confess, gathered in this place. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. And this is why the Reformation of the Church is significant. One of the most significant events in the history of the Church after the time of the New Testament. Not because of Martin Luther, or because he got things right in some cases, but because Scripture was restored, and grace was proclaimed, and faith was created. And so the work of Christ was received and believed, and the Christian faith continued. Today we have the great joy and blessing of hearing the confession of faith of five of our young ones in our midst, young adults who will stand before us and affirm the gifts that God gave them in their baptism, and confess the faith that they have been taught, and that will remain theirs throughout their life. As they confess their faith today, I invite you to remember the faith that was the grace that was given to you in baptism and the faith that you have and continue to confess in Christ, that we too may stand on Scripture alone, rejoice in God's grace alone, and live by faith alone. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, thy strength, I love you.
The congregation may be seated, and I invite forward our confidants. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You have been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith, according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God?
I do.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know it from the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed
to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death.
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Please kneel.
John Timothy Terhune. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace for life everlasting. Amen. John, as you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in him, the Holy Spirit promises to remain far. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Elijah Michael Roach. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Eli, to you our Lord gives this promise: never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Benjamin John Paradise. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace for life everlasting. Amen. Ben, for you these words of St. Paul: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Josiah Crawford Paradise. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Josiah, as you walk through life, Jesus promises you: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Valerie Janine Terhune. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Valerie, receive these words declaring your God to be a mighty fortress, where it says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The congregation would please stand. Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with the faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan, and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone.
Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor, and to bear the cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me, as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us.
God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend John Erickson, Ann Bennett, Abby McDermott, Marge Connell, Darlene, Holly, Carlene Breen, Pat Portwright, Matt DeBara, Lois Doskasil, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Faw, Kevin Foss, Jackie Gordon, Randy Hunter, Rosemary Jackson, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Audrey Linick, Janet Lipke, Ed Pinard, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Grant blessings to all husbands and wives, especially to Eric and Joan. Be with all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kaylee, and preserve the lives of all little ones in danger of abortion. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, be with those to whom death draws near, especially Emily Hillman, and when her last hour comes, receive her by faith into your heavenly kingdom. Comfort all who mourn, especially the family of Inga Lotzi, the Henriksen and Zahner families, and deliver us all from evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 46, a psalm of thanks. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. the God of Jacob, is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
For your strong word, which has given us this communion with our Savior in flesh and blood. Show us the Savior also in your word, that we might learn and do his will, that our lives might glorify the Father, and that through us other beloved sinners may receive grace and life in your saving word. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.